We're well into the second round of the NBA playoffs, and we've seen some questionable and some favorable moments. We talk about it today on In the Zone by Hoop Talks. Come on, come all. I'm Noor Zainab, Karina Mustafa, and this is In the Zone. We've brought it back. We were here last week. We're going to continue the rhythm going forward today. And the theme of our show is we have fun. We talk about basketball like the average fan, about we're trying to reach the average Joe and the average Joanne.
Some culture.
Exactly.
Average Joe and Joanne.
It's called introducing and claiming everybody. But today we thought what would be fun to talk about is We're clearly just completely overdone April. We're into May now, which means you're well into the second round of the playoffs with the NBA. And it also means that we've seen some really fun and some cringy and some crazy moments. So We, Karina and I, came here today to give you guys our favorite memorable moments and some of the most cringiest moments that we've seen so far. So Karina, I'm going to throw it to you right away from the bat. What's been your favorite moment, the best moment so far in the NBA playoffs?
So last week when we did our fashion segment, we talked about Jimmy Butler and how he was Himmy Butler. And turns out he's Himmy both on and off the court. So we saw off the court last week with fashion. This week, game two, once the Knicks tied it up between the Heat and the Knicks, they tied it up 1-1. We saw Jimmy Butler, who didn't play that game, and he was nodding. And you just knew something was coming. And now the Miami Heat are up 3-1. Against the New York Knicks. And I just love that because you just knew that a performance was coming from him and it was like over.
That's
for the Knicks.
That's so baller. Like the fact that we saw him nod and we got scared. I was scared for the Knicks. I'm like, the Met guy, you're gonna need like high security to make sure that he doesn't do anything. But when you see that, it's almost like when the greats get put to the test, right? It's like a MJ moment. It's like a Kobe moment where they're looking at the crowd, looking at being down. They're like, no, not when I get on the court. And that's chilling. Like, I got goosebumps after, not before. Before, of course, too, because you're just like, oh, we know Jimmy Butler. We know what he can do. But then watching that nod after he came on and won the game, crazy.
Do you know what I love about players like him? Because like you think about the Miami Heat, who are a pretty like iconic franchise. They've had lots of really great players kind of be the star of the team in recent years, whether it was like Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Chris Bosh. I know that's a trigger word for Raptors fans.
I hear it.
But now, like, as they've, like, all of that is in the past, and you're kind of looking for a new identity with this team, and the fact that Jimmy Butler, I'm not saying he's on, like, their level, but he's become the guy where he's like, I can take matters into my own hands, and I am the guy for this team to lead this team. And I just really love that, and it makes me respect him even more.
Is he the best playoff performer in the NBA right now?
Ooh.
I think he might be. We could say Giannis.
Kawhi's not in the playoffs anymore.
Kawhi needs to play in the playoffs. I'm so sorry. I love you. But Kawhi needs to be healthy enough to play in the playoffs to begin with. LeBron's being the most passive LeBron we've seen in the playoffs so far this year. And
maybe outside of like James Harden or Embiid.
Say Philly, right? Like, but the thing is, this Jimmy Butler is someone who can have 0 points the first half, and then the second half, he takes over the game.
He takes all of the points.
Yeah, it's like 25 points the second half. It's crazy. And he's the epitome of a guy who kind of like sleeps through the regular season. He's playing, but he's not like giving you his best effort. You have no idea what Jimmy Buckets is, but the second the playoffs come around, it's a whole different beast. Look at him with the Timberwolves, with Philly, now with freaking the Miami. Knicks, yeah, it's crazy to watch him do all these things. And I don't know. I think he might be the best playoff performer.
I like it.
Right? Okay. Well, I like what you have to say. Mine is, see, that speaks volumes about you as a person. You're like,
oh no,
this is the best moment for Jimmy Butler. And here I am being petty. My favorite moment was the Memphis Grizzlies getting eliminated.
Love it.
I am so sorry. But when you do things like that, when you're running around opening your mouth to everybody who can listen, when you're making your personality more than your game, when you're having so many off-court antics that your on-court dunks don't make up for it anymore, I'm gonna celebrate your demise. I am so sorry. Having to watch what Ja Morant went through the entire season. He's an amazing player, such a great NBA player, such great potential ahead of him. But to almost watch him like risk that a little bit on the side, that, I mean, that's a whole different conversation. I'm not going to touch that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But just their dynamic, that crowd. I mean, Dylan Brooks, do we want to talk about what Dylan Brooks has been doing the whole time? He's not even allowed in.
He put himself in a permanent timeout.
They banished his ass. They're like, you're never coming back here ever again. And think about this for a second. Ja Morant literally had guns out all season long, pointing it at people, and the Grizzlies drew the line at Dylan Brooks being annoying. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're letting Dylan Brooks go. Guns, okay. You're annoying. Get the hell out of here. For that reason, Dylan Brooks, I feel bad for you. But that's also why the Grizzlies deserved it. Like, everything that they've done, the, you know, prior to the postseason and to the postseason, has just been a questionable decision all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Like it's been mentioned, like, it seems like they do need a veteran there or mm-hmm. some type of leadership, because as great it is to have young talent in a very young team, you still need somebody there to kind of, who has the experience to put this team together, because as we've seen with multiple teams in the NBA, including the Raptors, mm-hmm. there's a lot of different personalities, a lot of different egos, and you have to learn how to manage all that to be successful.
And you want
to
see a successful pattern? Look at the Miami Heat. You got Kevin Love, you got Udonis Haslem, you got Kyle Lowry. That's a veteran team. Yes. And that's why they're so far into the playoffs right now from the play-in. But we talked about the good stuff. We're not going to end the show with the good stuff.
Here
we're
going to
end the show with the cringe stuff. So, Karina, what has been your cringiest moment in the NBA so far?
My cringiest moment was when Austin Reeves shouted, I'm him, in this clip.
He didn't like it.
Just listen to this. Just wait. He's letting the world know, I'm him. Maybe it's just like a side effect of playing with LeBron James. Like, listen to that. It's just like, yes, okay, listen. Austin Reeves has been a good player for the Lakers. Yeah. There's no denying that. I just thought it was funny because, like, even throughout the season, I think there was one game where, like, there was these girls that were sitting courtside, and they were, like, laughing with him and, like, whatever. And then he just turned into, like, Michael Jordan for the rest of the game. Like, he is a different breed of human. It's so funny because if you look at him, not to, like, shade him, but if you were to just meet him regularly, he'd be like, hi, I'm Austin. I play in the NBA.
Yeah, no, you
and
don't.
You'd be like,
show me your badge.
Sure?
Show me your badge. No, you don't. Here's your credentials.
So, yeah. So him yelling, like, I'm him with that level of confidence.
Oh, I get it. Like, you're on your way to be hopefully a good player. But, like, I'm him? Do you know what him means? It's Timothy Butler. Timothy Butler can say that. Austin Reeves, I don't know. Give me 20 points.
I know. Like, put them next to each other and it's a little bit.
No, that is cringe. See, at first I was like, But then I'm like, wait a second. On the spectrum of people
also,
who are
also, the way he's
in,
yelling, he's yelling so loud. He wants everybody to hear him.
He's pumping his chest. He's like, I am the Lakers, while LeBron's on the bench right behind him. Yeah, I don't know about that, Austin Reeves. I agree, though. Actually, for me on the other side, it's got to be, let's go back to the Eastern Conference. Let's look at the Knicks. Julius Randle. Mm. If we could please have the clip of him being
Julius,
the cringiest.
You guys haven't been able to get the amount of offensive rebounds and loose balls that you were in the Cleveland series. Just what have they done maybe to kind of beat you at your own game almost?
Maybe they wanted more. I don't know. That's been who we are all year. And we got to find a way to, you know, step up and make those plays if we want to keep the season alive.
To that, where do you go to find
I don't know about that one.
In the middle of a series.
But I think.
I look within. That's all I can say, look within. How bad do you want it?
Yeah, I don't know about that one. But I think for you to go out there and say, I think this other team wanted it more. And the series not over yet.
Also, the answer to, like, the question that was asked was a good one.
Yeah.
Like, the reporter was asking about, like, how Miami is using, like, their own game to beat you at your own game. And he's like, maybe they wanted it more. Like, why don't you want it more?
But you can't think of your own offense? Like, you can think of why. Just give me a reason why you can't drop the offense that they have. If anything, you have more shooters on your squad than the Miami Heat do. So what do you mean they wanted it more? Do you just not want to win? But to say that, with that level of defeat, mm-hmm. with your teammates listening, the fan base listening, the owners listening, like, everybody listening, that,
and the series is not even over at that
exactly.
point. So, like, I could understand that maybe after a series loss, when there's no more games to be played, but how do you go and say that and then walk back to your locker room and try to pump your guys up for the
exactly.
next one?
Exactly. And because in that moment, I'm getting the vibe that you've admitted defeat.
Yeah.
You've given
throwing
up.
The towel.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I don't know about that one. I think that was like weird to me. On the other side of it too, when people are talking, like, let's talk about Draymond Green. Draymond Green hosting a podcast in the middle of the second round while his team is down. I don't want to hear about what kind of commitment that is to his post NBA career, whatever that may be. You're in the NBA right now. Why are you recording podcasts? He's not getting shots up. He's going great. He's at the game. Game's done. Daps everybody up. Clocks out. Goes home. Gets like this. Sitting right here like this. Well, game three reactions with Draymond Green as I was just on the court playing for the Golden State Warriors and I'm Draymond Green. Like, what are you talking about? I want to see you actually put some shots up. To see an NBA player, I don't want to come at anyone's, like, you know, their work ethic.
No, but it's like him coming on his podcast and then talking about how Sabonis didn't shake hands and how that was unsportsmanlike, like literally two games after he stomped on his chest. Like, I'm just like, it's that kind of stuff where I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No. Like, at no point does he hold any kind of moral value when it comes to being the best NBA player. But then for him to go in and constantly be like, you know, ridicule other people out there is crazy to me. And kind of like almost question their effort and their commitment to the game, Jordan Poole, is crazy to me because this is game, you're down, you're facing elimination game tonight. Thank God last game he had no podcast, or I would have been like, I think he's one way ticket out, going straight to Clutch Sports afterwards. But I can't get over the fact that he has a podcast and he does his own live reactions. He comes back home, he's like, yeah, this play right here. So I did this play and this play was supposed to go this way. And then bam, you know what? Jordan Poole, though, Andrew Wiggins could have a better night. LeBron James. I love LeBron James. LeBron James is my savior.
It looks like you're like making him say all of these things.
Like that, I cannot get into it, Cree. What's your thought on that?
I have my thoughts about Draymond and his podcast. It's cringe, definitely a cringe moment. But yeah, if you guys want to let us know what you guys think the cringiest moment was, if you agree or not agree, if you're like, let Draymond.
Yeah, let us know how much Draymond you agree.
Let Draymond podcast. It's your prerogative.
Let us know how much you agree or like disagree, or if you think that we could have had better best moments or cringe moments. I think we did pretty good, but we're always open to listen for sure anytime. But this is not over. We'll be back again next Wednesday in the zone. Myself, Karina Mustafa, Noor Zainab, and we'll catch you guys next time.
OG Anunoby finally gets an all-defensive selection, and could JJ Redick be the next head coach of the Toronto Raptors? This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. I'm, of course, Justin Pooney, joined with Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Karina Mustafa, and Noor Zainab. Guys, a lot of interesting news dropped in the last 24 hours about the Toronto Raptors. We're, of course, going to dive into it all. But let's start off with some positive news, some relief on Raptors fans with whatever that was right there. Ignore that.
That implies there's some bad news right? coming later.
There's always some bad news, right? We'll start with the good news first. I don't even know it's bad news. We'll
exactly.
See. It's news.
We'll see. It's news.
It's news.
But OG Anunoby was announced to the All-Defensive Second Team, his first All-Defensive nomination. And he joins an elite list of groups. If we want to see the full defensive team's breakdown here, we have, of course, the first team All-Defensive Team was with Jaren Jackson, Defensive Player of the Year, kind of, you know, self-explanatory.
Given, yeah.
Drew Holiday of the Milwaukee Bucks, Brooke Lopez of the Milwaukee Bucks, Evan Mobley of the Cleveland Cavaliers, guys. Scottie Barnes defenders, how do you feel about that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. And Alex Caruso of the Chicago Bulls round out the first team. As we move to the second team, Derek White from the Boston Celtics, Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors, OG Anunoby, as I did mention, Dylan Brooks, everybody's favorite player. Karina's guy, Dylan Brooks, her favorite
again,
player.
This narrative?
And Bam Adebayo round out the all-defensive team. Now, Noor, I'm going to start with you first because you have been the biggest OG Anunoby defender, maybe to a fault in some instances.
To a fault? He just won. What do you mean to a fault?
What?
Defensive player.
He got selected.
Second.
He didn't win us. He
was
selected.
Okay, that's winning something. Okay. He's not.
We're not here for dating. We're not here to get into technicals of the English language because I know that's not your strong suit. But let me start off with you first. What does this mean for OG and all the work he's put on the defensive side of the ball. Now he's finally getting the recognition that he deserves amongst NBA circles.
Long time coming. A very long time coming. And you know what's crazy to me? It's the fact that this is the second. The Raptors have always known to be a team that value and build their foundation. They bring the players in who actually show that they want to play on the defensive end. We've had coaches who tell players, if you're not going to play if you're going to play defense, you're not going to be on the court. Sorry, like, enjoy the bench. Unless you give me any effort, you'll be there. That's why we saw Stanley Johnson minutes with Nick Nurse all the time, because he loved his defense. He might not get a shot off for his life, but he can defend. And OG has always been one of our best. On a team full of defenders, he's been your best defender. So the fact that this is coming now sucks, and this is long overdue. I think it's because the league saw that, oh, shit, he's actually drawing a ton of interest at the trade deadline. All these teams want him. They want to sacrifice their first rounder, second rounder, three, four of them, exactly. And they're like, well, we can't ignore him anymore, and we got to. And they can't, because he led the league in steals, which is one of the most important categories that people look at. He's constantly defending the best player on the other team. He defends 1 through 5, he's versatile. And let's look at the players that he defends, all right? When he was defending Jokic, he had 2 points. Kawhi had 9 points. AD had 4 points. DeRozan had 3 points. And Bradley Beal went 2 of 12 with 6 points the whole night. Though anytime OG Anunoby was on him. It's a long time coming.
Now, Karina, when you look at OG's game, right, he took a... The offense, I think, is going to be capped. He's going to be a 16 to 18 point per game player. But do you see that, or do you believe that he can improve his defensive game even more and maybe potentially become a first team all defensive player in the next couple years?
Absolutely. And I think we've seen flashes of that. I mean, if you think about the last Raptor to make the all defensive team, I think it was Kawhi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't
the
even
only other Raptor, actually, to
the
make
only
an all
the rental.
The greatest rental in NBA history.
No one's denying that.
And honestly, I think like making second team might be an extra motivation to do even better, because we saw like Precious Achiuwa and like other Raptors players post like, oh, you should have made first team. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, maybe this means that OG's newly motivated to be like, I want to make first team, and maybe that helps him improve his game even more.
Now, Jelani, I got to ask this question. And I specifically asked it to you because I didn't want them to answer this question, because they were gonna probably yell at me and scream at me for asking this question. No, I'm looking at it for my own personal safety here on camera. Now look, so we know OG was one of the hottest commodities at the NBA trade deadline.
I knew it.
So here's what I'm saying, right? He was second team all defense. His value's increased even more. Come on now, Masai. You know the value's there. Do they trade? Can they trade OG Anunoby now in the offseason?
Can they? Yeah,
or should they? Should they? Should they trade him?
Walking on thin ice right now, Jelani.
Come on. Reason I asked you, because I saw their faces when I asked this question.
I don't even think that him being on this team will increase the value, to be honest with you. I don't think so. So I don't think I'm getting what was offered at the trade deadline, right? Remember the multiple picks that we could have been given? So I would say no, because I just don't see the price being as high as it once was. And
so you think the price is not going to be 3 first-round picks anymore?
I don't. And I know he made this team, right? I know he's the steals leader, the first in defensive win shares for the Raptors, all that sort of thing. But I just don't think it was as high as it once was, because I told you guys, we're not going to see OG's market be like it was close to the deadline. So at this point, I think that he's going to remain a Raptor. I think they trust OG's development. Mm-hmm. You know, over the years, we've seen him improve. We've seen the offense also be there at times this season. So I think they're going to keep him, to be honest with you.
Also, you mentioned defensive win shares, because I have his stats on Basketball Reference pulled up here. He had 2.9 this season, which is the most since 2019-2020 season, where he had 3.7. So it's better than the last two seasons, but like you said, not as good as it once was.
So you think that if, say, the Memphis Grizzlies, for example, Noor, they pick up the phone, they call Masai Ujiri, like, hey, look, we need a defensive
player.
Let me finish the question.
You're wasting your breath.
If Memphis offers whatever picks they have, maybe a piece like Brandon
You're
Clark or whatever,
the time
right?
Of the show by even explaining
you,
the whole.
Do you would you would you question. At least entertain offers on OG?
No.
Okay.
No, and this is why. Because
Masai said
if other,
the
no,
today,
Justin,
everybody else
because
is
if other teams want him, it's because they understand his value by building a contender with young guys. That's what the Grizzlies wanted him. And if the Raptors want to go down that route, Why would you trade him to get three draft picks so then one day hope one of them turns into OG Anunoby?
I wouldn't trade him, but I'm gonna like field some calls. I would entertain it if the offer is good enough, why wouldn't you say yes? But I just don't think the offer is gonna be as good. Okay. But I'm gonna listen. If there's a team out there, I'll listen.
Real quick, let me ask you this though.
Oh, asking me a question.
What was the point of having OG all these years and trying to develop him into one of the main guys?
Exactly.
If you're just gonna give him away for whatever picks you get, like Noor said, not guaranteed.
Because what is this team? What is this team doing with OG Anunoby here? What?
Because if you're building,
in my opinion,
no. Let me ask you the question. Okay. Look where the Toronto Raptors are right now. Right? Mm-hmm. Masai Ujiri said when they fired Nick Nurse, basically said that everybody's job is in jeopardy, right? The only people that we know are safe is Scottie Barnes for sure and Jeff Dowden Jr., right? Everybody else, that's what Masai said at his press conference. Did he not say that? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said.
It's just funny.
When you look at this team, right? You look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference, a guy like OG Anunoby can bring pieces in that can help you level up your talent, right? Ime Udoka said he would not want to coach this team because why? They capped what a fifth place team. Becky Hammond has not brushed off the Raptors. The Raptors don't have enough talent here to attract coaches even, right? I want to see the talent pool increase. If a guy like OG Anunoby can bring draft picks in who have a higher ceiling than players that they have right now.
That's a tricky sentence. But you know what OG
Anunoby is. He's going to be a 16 to 18 point player. He's going to be an all defensive second team player, a great defensive player for sure, right? But what else? Can you get more?
But I think that you value a guy that can play defense like that.
But what do you do with the rest?
Did you not hear what I just said? He's defending the best player on the teams right now. He's
young. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
But I still would value. Two sides of basketball, right? So I value that defense.
Absolutely.
You're not going to find that anywhere
else. I'm not brushing off the defense whatsoever. I'm saying he's a great defender in the NBA.
Right.
He's an all-NBA defensive player, right? What I'm saying is, though, a piece like that is so valuable across the NBA,
right,
and teams are going to want to acquire him.
That was the time. If there was any time to do it, that was the time. But now, I just don't see it.
But
I don't see it anymore.
If he fits the direction that you want to go in, he fits the timeline with Scottie Barnes, a younger team, right? Younger guys. So if that's the case, why would you move him off your future? You don't need to build around OG. OG is an asset on your team. He's going to be the guy that defends the best player. Why would you now give him up to the other team so he can lock you down and you hope one day when you get the draft pick 5 years from now, he can amount to what OG Anunoby is currently?
It all depends on the coach that comes in, right? What coach comes in? Do they want OG Anunoby a part of this team, right? The way I see it is this. You want to build for the future, right? Masai's talked about developing young players. You're going to have to acquire more younger players, right? They don't have as much draft capital as they would want to bring in young players. A guy like OG could bring you a lot of draft capital and high-end young talent, right? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to trade him, right? I'm saying if somebody picks up the phone, like Portland, and they're like, hey, we have a lottery pick. We'll give you Shaden Sharp or we'll give you
That's
whatever.
That's why I entertain
right?
the calls.
You would entertain the call and you have to have a conversation about it. Now, if you want to pull the trigger on the deal or not, that's up to Masai. But I'm saying you at least have to have that discussion and that thought process of, okay, if we can get this and this for this certain player to help the long-term sustainability of this franchise, a team that's right now a mid-level team in the Eastern Conference, if we can increase our talent pool and end up becoming a top two seed in the Eastern Conference in a couple of years and have longer term sustainable success, you have to look at that
Masai
option.
I think Masai already answered that call and he shut those calls down. So we're having a hypothetical conversation right now. He made his stance clear.
Wait till the coach was being offered all these picks
and he said no. So his stance is pretty clear now.
But they were waiting.
Let's talk about a coach.
Okay, but the last thing I want to say about that point is
they wanted
to make the play-in, right? That's why they didn't trade anybody. They wanted to get one last kick at the can, and now they didn't do it.
What an L move, in my opinion.
Thank you. Anyway, speaking of head coaches and all that fun stuff, we got some news on the Toronto Raptors coaching front. Guys, just take it easy. Take it easy. Chill out. It's basketball at the end of the day.
Guys,
take it easy.
Take it easy. Look, I get a little fired up. Anyway, let's pull up the quote from Sportsnet's Michael Grange, wrote an article about the Toronto Raptors and their head coaching search. I'll read this for you guys. Then there are some wild cards with former Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey. Wow. Thought to be thought to have registered interest, and one source suggests that Toronto has looked into the possibility of veteran NBA sharpshooter turned podcaster turned broadcaster JJ Redick, who has spoken openly about the possibility of getting into coaching as being head coach material. And now, before we just were recorded, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN confirmed that the Raptors did indeed interview JJ Redick.
That's crazy.
Holy Karina. I know Holy this topic crazy. Is really grinding your gears right now. It's really, you know, you're really fired up about it. So give me your immediate thoughts on this news.
My immediate thoughts was that there's not a lot of substance to any head coaching stuff right now, which is why I'm kind of iffy on talking about it, especially when it originally came from one sentence in an article that was about Becky Hammon.
That's true.
Yeah, and, all and that article came out yesterday, and all of a sudden somebody decided to read it this morning and was like, oh, let me see this one sentence and blow it up and make a graphic. And
let's
now everybody's
clickbait today.
And I all mean, of a sudden Moj is tweeting I mean, that he got interviewed.
You're welcome. You're welcome, NBA Universe.
You didn't do it, but okay. It was
I would be surprised if it was.
Listen. I know JJ wants to get into head coaching. Mm-hmm. He'd probably be really good at it. But I'm kind of just thinking, it's kind of something you said before. If your coach is the best sharpshooter on your team, then you have a problem. Yeah. Like you said, it all comes down to the roster. I want to see what they're willing to do with the roster itself before I even think about the head coach.
It's going to be like coach said me, but coach is like, no, I'm subbing myself
exactly.
In.
Now,
I'm coming over.
Noor, is it smart for the Raptors to go with a unproven, never coached before coach, or would you like to see somebody with a bit more experience?
I think we've seen with the thing is JJ Redick is not short of experience. He has NBA experience.
I meant coaching experience.
No, I know, okay. I know. I'm saying like, he understands how to work a locker room, right? And that again is a very an identifiable part of when it comes to coaching, because people forget the part that where you have to also maintain a culture. And I think that's what he would be really good at. Even when he was parts of teams, he was a veteran there, mm-hmm. and he understood how to just manage egos and people and personalities. And he learned to do that.
Too.
Exactly. And I think people will respect him for that. Like, the players will have his respect, no problem. It's just on the coaching end, like, we haven't seen anything. We don't know much about it. Do I think he'll be set up for success? Sooner than later? Yeah, absolutely. But do I want it to be the Raptors? No, really.
Now, Jelani, me and you both love JJ on First Take. We love it when he gives it to Stephen A. Smith yes. on a daily basis. If he's the head coach of the Raptors, will Stephen A. suddenly become a Raptors fan?
No. You know that already.
This guy does not want to see
a championship back in Toronto.
Real talk. JJ is one of the smartest basketball minds out
for
there,
sure.
right? And as you guys mentioned, he's a former NBA player, you know, not far removed from his NBA playing mm-hmm. days, is really relatable, played against some of these guys on the Raptors. Mm-hmm. Jelani, do you think that could, if they do end up going down, that's a huge, huge if,
yeah.
that could be a huge selling point for not only just the current Raptors, but players in general. Oh, I want to, you know, JJ's an awesome guy. I want to play for JJ. Do you think that could be a positive for the Toronto Raptors?
I think so. He's gaining some traction. Huge following since he's been, you know, a broadcaster mm-hmm. and things of that nature. People respect his voice. So and look, Masai talked about we need somebody who has a voice that will, you know, help this culture out. So you never know with JJ. And we have seen examples of guys who've never had coaching experience before. Look at Isaiah Thomas, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, he was in the front office, but was never a coach, mm-hmm. right? Steve Nash, I know that didn't work. You have Mark Jackson, for example, right? So you've seen it before, Derek Fisher. So it's possible. It's possible that it might happen. I'm just kind of shocked, right? That, again, this was a Becky Hammon article, right? Mm-hmm. And this came out, so I was kind of shocked by it. And look, I'm a North Carolina fan, so I don't know how I would feel with a Duke Blue Devil being my head coach.
Now, I want to say this as well before we wrap up this great segment. It's actually been an awesome segment. I love the energy from everybody today.
Yes.
Everybody's all fired up.
Yeah.
You're welcome for firing you guys up. I just want to mention this. You know, it's the NBA offseason when toxic cryptic tweets are being dropped. Fred VanVleet this morning dropped, we are all on borrowed time.
One bookmark.
What does this mean? That was me. I bookmarked it, yeah. I'm probably going to tweet that out later tonight, actually.
Yeah, you probably are.
Guys, what do you think Fred means by this? We're all on borrowed time. Let's turn up the rumor mill. Fred VanVleet, I say Fred's going to Phoenix.
Okay, listen.
Fred's going to Phoenix.
Stop. I think he's just in his feels this morning and was just being philosophical about life in general. And we are just pulling apart his tweet for no reason.
I honestly don't know. It might be about something random.
Like, we are on borrowed time, technically.
I mean, listen, I want to say this is just something that you shouldn't look into. But at the same time, they know what they're doing when they put out tweets like that. Like, look at the infamous, fuck, what's his name?
LeBron?
No, it was the I don't want to be here anymore.
Oh, Eric Bledsoe.
Like, so, yeah, see, like, all those, like.
That was pretty direct, though.
It was very direct, but then he deleted it right afterwards, too, and it cost him.
Wasn't even cryptic.
And then he left the organization right after. So it's like, they know what they're doing, and they can easily be like, oh, it doesn't mean anything. But at the same time, it's like, you can say that, but it could have given the message to someone that you wanted to send the message to. But we don't know who that is. Hey. So that's all I'll say.
Fred had a great episode on JJ's podcast. They have a nice rapport together. I think they were great head coach starting point guard comp for the Toronto Raptors next year. JJ Redick and Fred VanVleet. You heard it here first on Hoop Talks. We'll catch you all later.